Today, I'm going to have a cast of characters help me read the gospel. The term character you can apply as you wish. But the gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory
to you, Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him,
"Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
Jesus said to him,
"Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother."
He said to him,
"Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth."
Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said,
"You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
When he heard this, he was shocked, went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples,
"How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God."
And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again,
"Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Then they were greatly astounded and said to one another,
"Then who can be saved?"
Jesus looked at them and said,
"For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible."
Peter began to say to him,
"Look, we have left everything and followed you."
Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. But I'm going to have some of the kids sit up here, and we have something special. Ellie is going to play "Jesus Loves Me." And I want all of you to sit where you can watch and see her play. Because, as I understand it, once a month, the children are going to do this. And you may get to play one of those bells. How would that be? All right. Ellie? To sit with the rest of them, and we can talk. I was going to talk about something else, but what happens if you play the wrong note?
You just go back to that note and play it again.
Oh, you play it again. You get to do it again. Fantastic. You know, I bet the people who play those chimes wish they could do it that well. Although they did pretty good today, didn't they? Yeah. How many of you know how to sew?
I do.
Do you know how to sew? Fantastic. You're better. I don't sew. My wife sewed. beautiful things. But me, do you ever have to thread the needle?
I have.
Do you? Is it easy to thread that needle?
Yeah, I have that.
No.
No.
I have done that.
Have you?
At school.
At school? What do you use?
You use a string to pull it through.
A string?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, have you ever tried to put a rope through a needle?
No.
No? How about putting a camel into a needle?
No.
You couldn't put a camel in there?
Uh-uh.
Well, you know what? Jesus said that too. He said it's easier to put a camel through an eye of a needle than it is for those who are really wealthy to go into heaven. So how are we going to get there?
To die.
Oh, to die. Yeah, I suppose that would help. Yeah.
Just don't be wealthy.
Don't be wealthy. Well, actually, what happens if you are wealthy?
Well, tough luck.
Tough luck. But you know what? Jesus gives us an out. Jesus doesn't tell everybody who is wealthy, you can't go to heaven. He says, what's impossible for us, God can do. So if we rely on God, it's possible. Right? All right. Let's say thank you to God, shall we? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for making us wealthy. Wealthy with you. And help us always to rely on you so that no matter how much wealth or how little wealth we have, we know that you'll put that camel right through the eye of a needle the way it needs to go. So bless us, Lord. Bless us today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Ellie, thank you again.
These days, we are asked to trust a lot of people. Politicians are telling us that we have to trust them because everything they say is true. Fact finders tell us everything they say is not true. So who do you believe? We're asked to believe the guy who calls up and says, I'm your computer technician. Let me on your computer and I'll fix it for you. We're asked to believe the guy who comes to our door after a major storm and says, I'll fix this all up for you and make it really good. You just have to give me a deposit. We're asked to believe all those people and a whole lot more. It's hard to know who to trust. You know, quite often we have people stop at church who, we call them transients, who are passing through. Over the years, I think I've heard about every story there is. They're always going to the East Coast or the West Coast, or they're going north, or they're going someplace. Their car breaks down or they run out of gas. The children haven't eaten in days. And the wife has a medication that needs to be filled and they don't have anything. Which of those guys do you trust? Do you just give them all everything you've got? Or do you have to make judgments despite the fact that you don't want to make judgments? Trust is a hard thing. You remember, some of you, way back when, there was an old commercial, the Isuzu man, he was selling cars on television, and every word that came out of his mouth was a lie. It was just, and it was so obvious that he was lying. And he was asking us to trust him. Well, throughout the ages, we've had that same problem. How do you know who to trust? What do you trust in? Our money says, in God we trust. But most of us would say, well, in God we trust, but everybody else pays cash. You all know that one, right? What really is it that we trust in so much that we would risk our eternal life on it? Whoa, that changes the picture a little bit, doesn't it? What do we trust?
I remember an old Jack Benny skit. And what most of you know that Jack Benny, for those who were too young to remember, Jack Benny was a guy who was very stingy with his money. And in this skit, there's a robber who has him at a gunpoint and says, "Your money or your life." And Jack Benny stands there and, for the longest time. And finally the robber says, "What's it going to be? Your money or your life?" And Benny says, "Well, I'm thinking. He couldn't decide which was more important, his money or his life. Well, do we have that problem ourselves? Who do we trust? Amos the prophet, who writes in our first reading, is sometimes called the prophet of social justice. Amos came from the south. Remember, the nation is divided. The southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel have split. And he's from the south. And he's sent up north to proclaim a word to the people up there. Now keep in mind that up north of where they are, there's another nation. It's called Assyria. And it's the one that is most dreaded, the most feared and hated nation on the face of the earth. Sometimes as I read some of their history, I think, my word, Adolf Hitler took his lessons from the Assyrians. The horrible things he did to people. They had stacked pyramids built out of human skulls of the people they conquered. It was a horrible nation. And Amos sees them on the horizon. And he says to the people of Israel, "You need to change your ways. Right now, you are trampling on the poor. You are oppressing the righteous. And you are taking bribes. You are doing everything that God tells you not to." You see, the Assyrians made the same mistake that some of us make. And that is, we put God in a box. Wouldn't it be nice to just say, "God is here in this church. And when we go out the door, he doesn't know anything." You see, we can get by with whatever we want. That's what the people of Israel were saying. But God really doesn't watch what we do. We're free to do our own thing, our way. And Amos says, "No, you're not. God does see, and God does judge, and God does call us to account. And therefore, the bottom line of what Amos says is, seek the Lord and trust only him. Follow the way of the Lord and do what God calls you to do, not what you want to do yourself." It's so easy to fall into the trap of wanting to do things our way, the way we've always done it. It's easier that we don't have to think about God in those cases. The writer of our second reading from Hebrews points out that before God, we are all naked. I've often looked at that and thought, ooh. Well, can you imagine a whole congregation full of naked people? Or me standing up here naked? Really ugly. Huh? Not a good sight. But what he's talking about is not physical nakedness. He's talking about spiritual nakedness. God knows every thought, every word, every deed, every hope or dream we've ever had. We can't hide it. We can't keep God away from it. He knows. And the writer of Hebrews says, you know, if we were to rely on our goodness, we're in trouble. We really are in trouble. We're like the Assyrians. In thought, word, or deed, we are not perfect angels. But, he says, we have this high priest named Jesus who comes and intercedes for us. That's our hope. That's our one hope. Seek the Lord, Amos said, and live I think the writer of Hebrews would say the same thing. If we seek the Lord and put our trust in Him, our nakedness goes away. And we are one with God. In our gospel today, this ruler comes to Jesus. And by the way, thank you to my cast of characters. Didn't they do a good job?
Yes.
Fantastic. Helped us see the gospel in a different light. But he comes to Jesus, and, you know, he's got everything. Everything anybody could ever hope for. But, you know, he says, you know, what do I need to get the other thing? What does it take for me to get into heaven? How many of you have asked that question? What am I going to have to do to get into heaven?
Die.
Come on, you can be honest. We've all thought that. Am I going to make it into heaven?
Die.
Now, the good news is, the gospel says, we have a way. We have a great high priest who's going to help us out. But this young man asked Jesus the right question. What do I need to do? And Jesus looked, I love this line. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Wow. Think about that. What that means. This isn't a guy that Jesus says, oh, this guy is a rich young fool. He doesn't know anything. He looks at him as he is. And he loves him. Just as he looks at us the way we are. And he loves us. Despite all the sin, despite all the failures, he still loves us. And he looks into his heart as he looks into ours, and he realizes there is just one thing this young man is missing. And he says, just sell everything and give it away. Now, one of our mistakes is that we want to put everybody into that mold and say, well, what Jesus is saying is all of us should give away everything we have and just live on whatever. That's not what he's saying. He looks into our heart and he says, what is it that separates you from God? It may be a habit. It may be a way of life. It may be some thoughts or something that you do. What is it that separates you from God? Because that's what he's telling this young man to give away. Get rid of it. Let it go. Seek the Lord and live. As we go through this whole transition period, we're going to discover that we're being asked to trust one another. Trust doesn't just happen, and I don't expect you to trust me from the get-go. I'm one of those Southerners. Well, actually, I grew up just east of here in Nebraska, but right now I'm a Southerner coming up to the north, and how do you trust those guys from down there? Well, on the other hand, I have to trust you and to love you the way Jesus does. Because in the end, when we work together, we can discover those things that will work and those things that won't. And we can let go of those things that don't. And we can gather up those things that will. And we will discover what it means to walk the path that Jesus walks. To allow Jesus to guide us and to find the things that God wants us to do. The problem the Israelites had was that they didn't want to know what God wanted. They wanted to do things their way. Sometimes we fall into that trap too. Of wanting to do things our way and failing to look at what God wants. But God has a plan. We don't always know it, and we don't always follow it, but God calls us to seek him so that we really can live as the people of God we're called to be. So may God bless us and keep us in his way and lead us into all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.